Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Started a little late tonight. I had to restart my computer. Today I've been repairing a wall. Mama JF wanted me to repair it before the winter because it was letting a little bit of wind enter the house, and it was a wall that I had demolished a long time ago. I had rebuilt, but there was still a little bit of a job to be made, and so I did that today. NN says it's to be expected from Elon. He already said 10% on both sides won't be happy with how he runs Twitter. You better believe we are in the 10%. Yes, if he's going to disappoint 10% on the right and 10% on the left, we certainly are in the 10% on the right. Although, you know, I would have hoped that Elon would just make tabula rasa very quickly and very cleanly. And it doesn't seem like it at this point with his tweet. It seems that he wants to engage in this idea of a council. But the council has been tried on Facebook. And the council, all they can do really is normify and average all of your decisions, which is okay. You know, it's good to have a council that must stand for the objectivity of their decision. But put a couple of leftists on there, and then you're going to have one right-winger at best, and it's going to be a central-right, more of a centrist statist, really. Maybe they're going to put a libertarian leftist. I would be very surprised if there was a single person truly about free speech on this council, and so you're going to be ending up with a democratic system. And Elon should understand this, that democracy doesn't work, and it doesn't work if you apply it at the country level, and it doesn't work if you apply it with a council of 5 to 10 people. You would need one or two extremists, and that's it. If the council was made of me and Clarence Thomas, maybe that could work, but add two leftists to balance us out and it's over. It's over because they're going to implement their leftist bias in everything they do. It's like discussing with stupid people is not a way to improve decision making. And that is precisely what democracy is. That is precisely what court systems are and appeals court. They are ways of averaging out your behavior with discussions with more stupid people than you, which can only dilute the quality of the decision. Which is why the only system that works for performance efficacy in our society is a system led by an alpha male, a single male making the decision. That is the only system that's ever worked to produce anything. The rest is all sucking up onto what was produced by single, big balls, high testosterone males. Anand says, if we had control of media, they would be allies in less than a week, but we don't, so they are bad sheep. John Drake says, commissions, councils, whatever you want to call them, suck big time. Yes, and it's a feature of the current generation. They can only make decisions in group, and it sucks so much. This is one of the reasons I've disengaged from any sort of official involvement. In universities, you see this all around. You want to do anything. You want to do a little student association. You want to do a little activity. You want to do a journal club, an intellectual conference of any kind. Let's make a council. Let's see what people want as a group. And it never works because the great realizations on this earth, they're just pushed by single, ball-bearing males of the penis kind I'm talking about here. And apparently we can now talk about this kind of stuff on Twitter. Elon Musk says that he has freed the bird. But he's also saying that no one will be unbanned until the council meets. Holy shit, do I. I don't harbor much hope for this council. I can't wait to see what it will be formed by. Just put an ADL guy in there, it's over. I mean, And the problem is the diversity of voices in a council is worth nothing unless they have veto power. If you were to put up a council with ADL at one side of the table, Papa JF at the other side of the table, and then you give me veto right on anything, that would be something. But if you give me just a voting right as part of a council of normies, forget it. They will always out-dominate you. Go away, says Jeff. I don't know. I think the council sounds cool. Reminds me of my favorite movie, Star Wars. How can I join the council? No, you can't. That's the point. You can't. Go away. They will not let people like you and I on this council. And so what's the function here? It's still a bunch of elites who will be deciding who gets banned, who doesn't. And there were a couple of fair decisions in the Facebook council. But they come years after the case. They come months after the case. And so the person still gets banned by the system. And then the council corrects and says, oh, this was a correct ban. This wasn't good. I am depressed by the social nature of the world. Thank God I live in the Great North. Sean Davis was saying, imagine in all seriousness being such an arrogant, incompetent, entitled little wokester that your pissy text provoked the richest man on earth to buy your employer just so he could fire you in his first act as an owner. Apparently, this is a discussion between Parag Agrawal, who got fired, and Elon Musk. So Parag Agrawal was, with all of his leftist concerns, you know, Elon, you are bringing attention to the wrong things. You are disrupting the functioning of the team. You are free to tweet, is Twitter dying, or anything else about Twitter. But it's my responsibility to tell you that it's not helping me make Twitter better in the current context. Next time we speak, I'd like to provide you perspective on the level of internal distraction right now and how it's hurting our ability to do work. I hope the AMA will help people get to know you, to understand why you believe in Twitter and to trust you. And I'd like the company to get to a place where we are more resilient and don't get distracted, but we aren't there right now. Holy shit, does that sound like a useless fucking employee that I would fire right away? And it's exactly what crossed Elon Musk's mind. Elon Musk would have answered, what did you get done this week? I'm not joining the board. This is a waste of time. We'll make an offer to take Twitter private. This would be the events that have led Elon Musk to acquire Twitter and yesterday fire this Parag Agrawal. What did you get done this week? Holy shit, if we had more people asking this in these tech companies, we could cut half of the workforce and be more productive. John Drake says, I keep saying it, the only system that will work is one without owners or curators and is out of reach of authorities. Yeah, exactly. And you know, Elon Musk had been talking about decentralization. That would have been awesome. And Jack Dorsey is working on his new Blue Sky or whatever project that would totally decentralize the ensemble of social media. Basically, you would interact with Blue Sky and the social media would be clients of Blue Sky in that you could have a Twitter interface to your Blue Sky communications. That is beautiful. And it's the only path forward. Where there is an authority, there is a defect. And when there is a council, there is a defect. And look at what Elon Musk was tweeting. Twitter will be forming a content moderation council with widely diverse viewpoints. How diverse? Will there be a single person on this council that can say white lives matter? I mean, shouldn't every single person on this council be able to say that white lives matter? And I guess you won't have a single one who can say it. So you're going to have a council composed by white-hating people, a majority, if not a unanimous anti-white position on this council. Even if you go for what you would call the far-right libertarians, they will still be unable to say white lives matter. I predict that less than two people on this council will be able to say white lives matter, and that's a problem. No major content decisions or account reinstatements will happen before that council convenes. So it seems that Elon Musk has decided that he wouldn't go fast. The council, how much time would it take for this council to put together some plan? And then we might get some unbanning. Not clear what it will be. Elon Musk has taken control of Twitter and fired its top executives. Parag Agrawal, I'm so happy to see him go. There's also the lady, Vijaya Gadde, who had been on Joe Rogan, one of the most famous interviews of all time in the censorship domain. And today there was fake news coming out on the internet. They were showing Twitter employees with boxes coming out of the Twitter headquarters, and they were like, I was part of the data team. Elon Musk will bring Nazis to Twitter. But it was a joke. It was a prank. So some people fell for it and published it on my Discord and my Telegram, but they got corrected by other members of the audience. In fact, it appears that they had used pseudonyms, Rahul Ligma and I don't know who, Johnson. And if you read their names together, it leads to Ligma Johnson. Ligma Johnson. Like they do in The Simpsons when they do these prank calls. So there's a couple of media who have fallen for it. Those were the guys right here. This guy and this guy. And they did their trolling very well, because it looked like he was genuinely emotionally shocked of losing his job. But at the very end, he says, all right, I gotta go. I have to go inform my wife and husband about this. And he said it super quick, so I wasn't clear. My wife and husband, and people were wondering on the Telegram, is that polygamy, or is that the same person as both his wife and his husband? But it turns out it was a prank. Cyanide Taste Sampler says, Stefan Molyneux needs his Twitter account back. The man has fallen so far. Yeah, I mean, Stefan Molyneux decided to go for BitChute mainly. And BitChute has not been a very successful endeavor for him. And I think he's on Odyssey too. I would have to check his Odyssey channel if he gets a crowd there. Trump has been on an interview talking about his disappointment with the reaction of Bibi Netanyahu to his goodness toward the Jewish people. Apparently, Bibi Netanyahu didn't want a deal.
I was disappointed in Bibi just on a personal basis. When we have an election that it was a rigged election, like a third world country election, sure. I think it's a terrible personal trait. I haven't spoken to him since, right? I didn't talk to him. Yeah. I thought he wanted to make a deal more than Netanyahu. And I will be honest, I had a great meeting with him, Abbas, right? I had a great meeting with him, and we spent a lot of time together, talked about many things, and it was almost like a father. I mean, you know, he was so nice. Couldn't have been nicer. And after meeting with Bibi for 3 minutes, I looked at him and said, you don't want to make a deal, do you? And he said, well, and the fact is, I don't think Bibi ever wanted to make a deal.
Why?
I thought the Palestinians were impossible, and the Israelis would do anything to make peace and a deal.
This expectation of Donald Trump is a demonstration that this guy understands zero about geopolitics. To think that Israel wants desperately a peace with Palestine, you need to be disconnected from the last 30 years of history. I mean, again and again, it's Israel refusing the two-state solution. Israel, as a federal power, as we've seen in the case of Quebec and in the case of Spain, separatist movement, the separatist movement, the one that wants to create a sovereign state or a two-state solution, is always ends up being oppressed, rejected, and gets zero form of help or offers or collaboration from the greater power. And Israel is totally fitting that pattern. The fact that Trump expected somehow that Israel wanted to make a deal with Palestine, what degree of naivety do you need to believe this? If they wanted to make a deal, it could have been done decades ago. The two-state solution has been on the table and has been discussed plenty. But poor Trump is one of these Americans who has been brainwashed by his pro-Israeli media for decades, and it shows. It shows in the fact that he was surprised at all to hear this. DK Shadow says, you have to be more demented than Biden. Yeah, I think that Biden wouldn't make this error. You know, give credit to Biden where it's due. Biden wouldn't think that, going into a negotiation with Israel and Palestine. Holy shit, do we have bad people at our service? It's amazing. Then, like, Trump should be watching the public space. Trump should be watching anything, really. Just hang out on Gab for a day. Learn about the world. Holy shit. Twitter fake out. Possible pranksters may have posed as fired data engineers. Of course, these two guys, it seems that they were indeed pranksters. Ilan Omar calls anti-war protesters dangerous propagandists. This is an important movement, and it's the conflict that exists between, you know, Ilan Omar is representing a very progressive wing of the Democrat Party that you would expect to be anti-war. But she's voting, apparently, totally in line with the Ukraine war. And as I've said many times on this show, the Ukraine war is caused by the US. If it wasn't of US money, there would be peace in the region already, because Russia would have gotten what it wants and things would have stabilized there. But Ilan Omar is this example of a Democrat who gets the anti-war vote, but doesn't behave in an anti-war manner. And her constituents are there to call her out.
You are supposed to be a progressive Democrat, anti-war. Anti-war. $80 billion to Ukraine is not anti-war.
We are helping Ukraine defend themselves.
Ukraine is killing its own citizens.
They definitely are.
In the Donbass.
We are helping little children like me that have been helped. So unless, listen.
You're not helping. You are sending money in a way that will forever maintain this war. And the sole reason for the maintenance of this war at this point is your money. It's the money you're sending.
Listen, unless you have not been paying attention to what is happening, there are millions of Ukrainians that have been displaced. There are piles of bodies that are being found.
These piles of bodies are dying for you. They are dying to maintain the flow of American money to Zelensky's bank accounts.
In mass graves. There are little children whose lives are being lost.
By Zelensky!
Here.
Yeah, by Zelensky in the Donbass.
But unless you are someone like me that has been that child, you do not get to tell me what my votes mean.
No, that's not how democracy works, you stupid fuck. I get to talk to you about your vote and criticize them. Doesn't matter that I'm not a child who has received bomb on his head. I don't have to have filled your personal experience of war to have an opinion on war. In fact, the fact that I'm a mentally healthy person who hasn't gone through bombing as a young child makes me a very stable individual to evaluate objectively the causes of your votes, your terrible actions. And I'm telling you, the causes of your flow of money to Ukraine is maintaining a war that could already be ended at this point. These leftists with this whole argument that you have to have gone through what I've gone through to understand. No, that sounds good like a movie sentence or something. But it's not a good argument. I don't have, because I have empathy and intelligence. I am capable of putting myself in the shoes of others. I don't need to have bombs dropped on my head to understand that it's bad to have bombs dropped on my head. But what you are describing is not how democracy should work. It's not the person who gets to vote is the person who feels the thing better than others. I have an opinion. You are doing terrible things in Ukraine. You should stop, Ilhan Omar. Greenwald. Meet the consortium imposing the growing censorship regime. Atlantic Council of Global Energy Forum. U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Comcast, Google. Well, of course, all of these people are talking in emails. They are exchanging information about how to stop certain forms of speech. And it's always in line with the interest of the globalists, the warmongers, the American Empire, the Israeli-American Empire. John Drake says, we're done politically. In 10 years, there will be 15 more just like her in the Congress and 50 in 20 years. Yes, yes, which is why I say take the political black pill, you know. My comment on Elon's council was, and here we go again, one more owner of a social media platform that delegates the task of censoring people. Delegation, 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 and along the way you lose control. Elon must know that this is a terrible idea. Facebook tried it, doesn't work. What you need is balls at the top. Elon must know, but because Elon constantly says, you know, that government is a bad manager of money. Well, government is a democratic entity, collectively managed. What's a good entity to handle money, Elon? It's an entity that is controlled by either collective owners who pay the price of their bad decision, or single owners who own it all. So that is the only way that you're going to get efficacy. And why is it that in the domain of censorship, we don't seek for the same degree of efficacy that we would want in another domain? I would like the question of censorship to be handled as productively as the question of producing a Tesla. Why is Elon making a special council here? Would you make a council to build Tesla? Or would you say, you're the engineer who handles this crew and you're going to handle this crew perfectly, and you're the engineer who handles the bench and you're going to handle the bench perfectly, and you're doing the engine and you're going to do the engine perfectly. We need engineers, Elon. Engineers that will systematize the analysis of speech so that everyone knows what the rule is and everyone knows what not to say. A council will not provide this. Naberius says, Jimmy Dore is alerting the anti-war segment of the left to the duplicity of the squad. Very good, because Jimmy Dore is a real guy. I love this guy. I think he's too much of a leftist, unfortunately. But other than this, he is a truly anti-war leftist. He's the kind of guy who will be there to call out the Ilhan Omars when they do this fakery. Hungry literary figures demand Amy Coney Barrett book deal be shut down in open letter to publisher. Just as if we didn't have enough censorship already with the social media, Now, book writers have an opinion on how books shouldn't be written. It's unbelievable. This is a liberal society? Are you sure? Letter writers cite Barrett Roe v. Wade vote, claim they're not calling for censorship. Well, you certainly are calling for censorship. 500 literary figures. In the letter, the progressive signers claimed that while they care deeply about freedom of speech, they also believe it is important for publishers to uphold their own dedication to the First Amendment with a duty of care. Yeah, so basically, oh yeah, we believe in the First Amendment, but we don't like this woman. So stop her book. The letter claims that Coney Barrett violated her judiciary role by inflicting her own religious and moral agenda upon the American public, and that Random House's decision to move forward with her book is a violation of international human rights. Holy shit. Publishing a book is an international violation of human rights. How do you get there? Who's going to be exposed to this book unwillfully? Is there a way to escape the book? If you can escape the book, then it's not a violation of your human rights. The book is not going to deliver itself through Amazon bots into your home unless you order it. Naberius says 499 of these literary figures are the same ones standing behind Salman Rushdie. Okay, is Salman Rushdie the guy behind this letter? I don't even see it. I don't see the list of names here. That wouldn't be surprising. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. They are the right way to help us keep going. By the way, if you'd like to join the Patreon Hangout or the Subscribe Star for monthly donation, this is very much appreciated. Showdown is coming over race-based admissions as Supreme Court prepares to hear arguments in a lawsuit. This will be a fundamental and super important decision going forward. It's the whole case of schools like Harvard have the right, according to the Supreme Court precedent, to make biased racial decisions, like saying, well, your grades aren't as good as this guy, but you're black, so you pass. That kind of thing. And the Supreme Court has been allowing them to do so in the past, but it was a leftist Supreme Court. The big problem, of course, is that you have, officially, they can't do this. Officially, discrimination by race is illegal. Illegal by the standard of federal law. And so they couldn't do this, and they are funded by federal entities. And they are also subjected to state constitutions, and these state constitutions all have something to say against racial discrimination. And ultimately, you realize what it is and why the leftist Supreme Court justices have let this pass. It is that the kind of racial discrimination that these universities do is systematically anti-white and anti-Asian. But, you know, we now have Supreme Court justices with some amount of balls. They're not perfect, but they could. They could have a different take on this. They could say, and that would be a very strong decision that would carry a lot of weight going forward, if they could say something like, yeah, you know, when you make a constitutional principle or a federal law that keeps against discrimination, we're going to apply it to protect Asians and whites going forward. That would be massive, because it would actually give a pushback to these politicians who are constantly making these special programs. Every time they make a special programs now, we could use it to actually advance the representation of white people into these programs. So there would be no more free pass for the racial minorities. Look, I may be dreaming by just evaluating this hypothesis, because up to now, the Supreme Court has been systematically, basically, making itself complicit into this big scam that affirmative action is. Will we have enough Republicans on the Supreme Court that can see clearly through this anti-white practice? And isn't it time that we say it so that our politicians can stop being afraid of saying it? Even Trump won't say anti-white. But let's say it, and I hope that the Supreme Court ends up saying it. Anti-white is against the Constitution because it's discrimination. The thing, it sucks when they make all these special rules and they never end up applying to you. So they end up being discriminatory. They end up being anti-white rules because it's against racial discrimination, but will never apply it in the case of white discrimination. This one was hilarious. It could be a Babylon Bee title, but doesn't seem that it is. Piet Mondrian artwork displayed upside down for 75 years. So there's an historian of art who has realized, holy shit, this abstract painting was not intended that way by the painter. It was the other way around. Which tells you what abstract painting comes to be, you know. It is so inconsistent that the guys who are hanging the thing don't even know what the right sense of it is. Quite funny. In the span of a month, Ye, formerly known as Kanye West, has destroyed his empire. Yes, and that's beautiful. It's beautiful to see, because I don't think he's done any of this without understanding what he was doing. Dino Legovich was aware that the Piet Mondrian painting was the wrong way. He says, I tried to tell them, JF, it's the wrong way up. I imagine you, you know, in the museum and trying to alert the authorities. It's I want to speak to the boss. This painting is not in the right direction. Surya Loka says he looks awful. Kanye West? No, I think he looks great. I think he's made the decision, which is a Joker decision. You have to have a kind of special brain to understand the interest of this. But he's made the decision of burning a pile of money. And there are different ways to do this, and it's useful to society. Burning a pile of money to just show, look, your money, my money, and I'm a billionaire. My money is not even mine. So what do you think about your little salary at $30,000? You think you own your life? You think you're really free? All of it can be burned instantly by just thinking the wrong thing. Okay, Surya Loka says, no, he was talking about the photo. Well, yeah, the picture is with this bizarre mouth protection thing. I don't know what's the purpose of this, but in any case. Very racist, de facto Senate candidate Gisele Federman makes bizarre claim about swimming. Historically, swimming in America is very racist. Is that true? Because I've been talking about race and black people and white people in America for a couple of years now. I have never heard this. Black people have an issue with water? I don't want to say it demeaningly. I'm asking the question. I had never heard this, but it's possible. I mean, I've not been hanging out in much pools in my life. But the few pools I've been at, I've not seen black people in them. That I can say. But is there such a thing as a fear of swimming for black people, or a discomfort with this? Mama JF sometimes is unprepared for her appearance. It's like, Mama JF, take your time, appear later, it's okay. Very racist. So this idea that black people do not swim, never heard about this. But recently, in the last 2 weeks, I've heard two stories about this. There's this person saying it, and it appears that, you know, the Little Mermaid, the new black mermaid, apparently they had to use massive amounts of CGI because she had trouble filming the scenes underwater because she just doesn't like water. Which, you know, don't become the Little Mermaid if you don't like water. We've totally lost a sense of work interview and employing people who have the talent to do what we need them to do. If you want to be the Little Mermaid, you need to be swimming. I don't care the state of advancement of CGI, you need to be doing some swimming. All right, Mama JF is back. Hello, Mama JF, what's up?
Hello, sorry, I had a malfunction.
You had a malfunction? You are a robot?
Yes. No, it's true, on the black leg, even because me, I was lifeguarding when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the course for lifeguard, they are like, you know, they are like, sometimes there's little people, they don't know how to swim,
So you were following a course for lifeguards, and they were warning you that there may be different ways of approaching water for the black community?
Yes, they tell you that.
And that's part of the course.
Yes, and even me, I save a little guy one time, a black guy. I'm not kidding you.
Wow.
They don't know.
But
I don't know.
Maybe they have a different culture. Maybe they have a different evolutionary history, and they just are less familiar with water living.
Because maybe us, we are more the white, we have the ship and everything there.
We have ships, yeah.
We need to go
it's true.
Fishing.
Can you imagine if all of your ancestors never traveled the world with ships?
Yeah, and they can just eat banana.
Oh.
Okay.
So you can be fishing and then you learn swimming because at some point you fall off your boat and most people die, and so the people who survive end up knowing how to swim. But if you don't have this selection effect, then you are mostly a hunter-gatherer on the land.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Look at the pool, incidentally. I'm sure it's more black.
Okay, the statistics. Okay.
I don't know if there's statistics left.
Maybe there is racism in the behavior of lifeguards. Perhaps there is a patriarchal attitude.
Yeah, they should make a special. Maybe they should add a course. Don't be a racist.
Yeah, maybe there should be screens, and it's like you see a white guy drowning, you see a black guy drowning. Which one would you go first?
Yeah.
And if there's racial bias, that could explain it. Okay, thank you, Mama JF.
And me too. I went in the water. The little guy was like this. Ooh.
Okay.
And I saved him.
You saved him? Well,
yes.
You did your job as a lifeguard. That's perfect.
Yes. So you should go on your knees in front of me.
Okay, there's a black guy out there
yes.
owing you life.
Yes.
Okay, yes, in a way. I mean, yes.
Hey, I just wanted to say something. Hey, I just came back. Okay, I told you to remove the cover from the turkey.
Ah, you wanted me to remove the cover from the turkey.
But you removed the cover from the bread.
Well, you know.
Oh my God!
Let me review. Let me review the message here.
Because I'm cooking a turkey in the oven.
So there's a turkey and there's a gigantic 100 liter. Broth boiling. Could you remove the cover, please? This doesn't say turkey.
Oh my God.
I removed the cover.
My God.
I see a cover on a broth and then I see a cover on a turkey. I'm like, remove the cover, please. The cover from the broth was glowing in my mind. It was like, choose me, Jeff, choose me. And I was like, it would be way easier for me to remove the cover from the brat than removing the cover from the turkey.
Oh my God.
And her message does not specify. So I took the easy path.
My God, you never cooked turkey before.
I cooked turkey before. I cooked plenty of turkey, Mama Jeff. You don't even remember our early relationship. I showed you how to roast turkey.
That's true.
You were like, I can't believe you roast turkey like this. It's so good.
Oh, I think it converted me to eating meat.
Yes.
Oh, that was so good when you did that, I remember.
Yes.
Oh my God, but I think you forgot now. You forgot how to
I
do.
Forgot how to do meat. I never forgot anything. However, I can go in JF productive mode. When Papa JF is in productive mode, I can eat canned rice crap rolled in leaves, in vine leaves. It cost $1.50 at the Dollarama, and I can just eat this and eat this every day. And then pasta. 50 cents meal. That's because I'm in production mode. I have a goal. Then other times in my life, I'm more like, okay, let's have some hobbies and let's do some good ribeye steaks and everything.
What the fuck? Yeah, you eat a little vegetarian stuff. I can't believe it. Okay, vegetarian.
I mean, there's nothing easier than a $1.50 can. Okay, it costs $1.50. They are just rice rolls rolled in vine leaves. You buy this at Dollarama. You can buy as many as you want. You have the whole stock for the year. And it feels like eating a full meal. It feels like I'm super happy after this. There's no preparation. You just open the can. You eat them. And then you're good to go for a couple of hours without having to cook anything. That is sometimes the mode I embark on when I have a project, when I have lots of work on my shoulders, or I have something I need to accomplish, or maybe I'm obsessed with the Goldbeck conjecture and I need to do a lot of math during the day. I just go zero preparation, zero quality meal, and super low cost. I like it. Oh my God, Facebook is crashing, and now Jim Cramer had been recommending to buy Facebook stocks. Listen to his voice. He's almost crying as he acknowledges he's made an error. Now, there's a meme on this guy systematically making errors. But at this point, he is at least acknowledging one big mistake. He's been telling his people to buy Facebook here. Holy shit, if you follow this advice, you already down 30, 40%.
Say this about this. I made a mistake here. I was wrong.
The grave voice. I made a mistake. I was wrong.
So what's really happened here in the miserable months since the Fed decided it had to stamp out inflation? Simple. Amazon, Facebook, and Google have become colossal losers. And while they may stay losers, the bottom line is they've fallen so darn far that I think they've become metaphors for a whole host of stocks that are now ready to rally because they've got nowhere else to go but up.
Oh, Jim. Papa JF is not even an economist, and I was predicting the fall of these big corporations. Yes, there is somewhere else than up, and it's down. These corporations are massive theoretical entities that can be abandoned at any time by their own user base. It's been demonstrated again and again. Things don't survive on the internet. Even things like Google, believe it or not, one day Google will be gone. Facebook was a massive giant. It is now just what it is, this little entity that overspends in explorations of the metaverse. These things will fall, Jim. you got brought on the idea that those were mega giants that were untouchable. But the mega giants don't die because of competition. They die from a thousand cuts. They die from competition here, competition there, changes of lifestyle, new generations rising. And then from within, they get drained from all their wealth by employees who keep saying, you need me. I'm your content manager. You need me. I'm your trust and safety team. You need me. I've been making these councils. I've been making these databases of bad users that we should ban. And they get eaten from the inside and attacked from the outside, and they die from a thousand cuts, from being hated by just too much people.
You're still not gonna walk halls and bump into people that you might otherwise not have.
You know, this is so much better on Zoom.
No, I felt like $1 million in the metaverse, but that's not enough to get the stock moving.
I have so many.
People should be buying
the
stock. This is so for real.
People should be buying the stock. Holy shit, these guys are posing as trustable entities, and they are ruining people's wealth. The poor normies who are listening to this guy, who has this whole style to him where he's getting his sleeves up so that he looks like a guy who's into the work, you know? It's a whole image that he's selling. This guy knows nothing. Landolt Guntram says, Jim Cramer is incompetent, literally. Sometimes when you throw pasta at a wall, it sticks, but he is mostly wrong or irrelevant. Absolutely. John Drake says, I remember this guy pumping up the dot-coms before they went bust 20-plus years ago. I mean, at this point, you have to ask yourself if it's not more than incompetence. A guy like this seems to be converting the losses of the big money manager toward the retail market. Because why is the establishment interested at talking about stocks to their audience? Well, it's not because they want to make a living out of having a reliable audience that comes back to them and that pays, because most of these things are free. You can watch Jim Cramer, I guess, from clips and from CNN YouTube channel and that kind of thing. And people who get it on their TV, they will always get CNN. So it's not like they're selling a product. It's more that CNN is funded by the establishment, and the establishment wants the retail market to be a little late on their decision. So when the establishment has an interest at getting rid of stocks, they want the retail market to be buying them. So you have to ask if there's not some kind of a conspiracy here, or at least some kind of a conspiracy of stupidity, where the establishment pays for media to hire a stupid stock counselor so that the retail market makes stupid decisions compared to them. I mean, it does hold up to at least a prima facie analysis of rationality here. Nationless Nationalist sends a super chat. He says, when is the next cooking stream, JF? I don't know. These things are really emerging randomly, and when I feel like it and when there's things to be cooked. I mean, today Mama JF could have recorded her work with the broth, because it's quite amazing. I mean, I'm dipping the big spoon in this and I'm pulling out just massive bones. You can see the hip bones of the cow. You can see the feet of the cow. I mean, it's like a cow, like popping out of the giant broth pot. So maybe next time we do a broth, I will ask Mama JF if she can take some video so that we can mount some music version of it. Paul Pelosi undergoing brain surgery following brutal attack. Suspect identified. So apparently there's a guy who showed up, David DePape, who has a blog, and he's showed up into the house of the Pelosis, and he showed up to look for Nancy, and Nancy wasn't there. So he was like, where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? And she wasn't there. I'll be back in a second. Mama JF was opening the door. I was wondering what's happening. She is bringing the turkey. Careful not to burn me. I'm feeling the heat right now.
Bring the turkey? You don't even need to remove the cover.
No, of course you don't.
Are you kidding me?
Beautiful turkey with celery, oranges stuffed in it, lemon, rosemary, fresh rosemary, apple.
Look at that. Beautiful. You don't even need to remove the cover, everyone.
Of course you don't.
Oh my god, we learned something today.
See? Errors. See, Mama JF wanted me to remove the cover. I misunderstood her message. It leads to an error, but you learn something from the error that you may not have ever learned if you hadn't tried it. So errors are always variability in the performance is always the basis for learning. Birds do this also. When birds are alone, they will explore sounds that they won't explore if they're in front of a potential mate. When they are in front of the potential mate, they are in performance mode. They want to be right on all notes. When they are alone, they are practicing a little more and they are exploring more variability in the sounds. Yeah, that looks like a good turkey. I'll be ending the show soon to go taste some of this turkey. But Paul Pelosi was undergoing brain surgery. So a guy showed up at the house of the Pelosis. Paul Pelosi was there. Nancy was not there because this is probably not where she works. It's probably just her house in the sense that she goes back to there when she lives there. But it was probably not close to Washington, D.C. The house, I believe, was... Anyways, it's the article is so long, I can't find the city reference. In San Francisco. So it was in San Francisco. And so the guy started saying, where's Nancy? And he was holding a hammer. And bizarrely, apparently, the attack toward Paul Pelosi only began when the police showed up. So he attacked Paul Pelosi with a hammer, but apparently in front of the police. So the police would have caught the attack mid-air. How? But it seems that Paul Pelosi called for the police as the guy was entering the home. So perhaps there was a delay here between the moment he entered the home, and therefore Paul Pelosi calls the police, and eventually he finds Paul Pelosi in the house. Starts yelling, where's Nancy? And starts hitting onto Paul Pelosi, massively damaging his brain and cranium. The guy has been arrested. There is a possibility that Paul Pelosi does not survive this. I mean, he's undergoing surgery right now. This seems like a massive hit that he's been taking to the head. And at his age, given that he's been, he's been recently arrested for DUI and stuff, I don't think he lives a particularly healthy life. His cranium must be kind of mushy already. Hit it with a hammer on top of it. There's a chance that he might die, or maybe he will survive with the good care of the doctors. In any case, it seems that the guy had a blog and he was talking about several IDs along the lines of January 6th, the election stolen, and COVID-related complaints. So that is what is happening. I mean, I totally expect that the people who are hateful toward Nancy, they tend to be very much in this January 6th crowd. And it's not really my crowd. I don't feel very attached to them because to me, January 6th has always been a very minor thing. But there is a group on the internet that really is frustrated at Nancy Pelosi for her role in the election and in the pursuits of the January 6th case. substantial evidence that COVID-19 result of Wuhan laboratory incident, according to a Senate report. I have covered recently new genetic evidence that totally convinces me that COVID-19 was played with in the lab. But that is a Senate report, so it's important and it's political. And they've been looking essentially here at the geographical first cases and giving further credence to the idea that it must have emerged from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I agree. And finally, as a last news item, in a stunning strategy reversal, Pentagon will no longer rule out use of nuclear weapons against non-nuclear threat. This is so bizarre, but it confirms what I've been telling you guys for many weeks now. Currently, who's interested in nuclear war? It's the American Empire, the warmongers of America. Because they're like, they are changing the rules so that they can attack with nuclear weapons someone who would not have used nuclear weapons. But when you do this, what's happening in the world? Well, now, if I'm Russia, I'm like, okay, that's now the standard of behavior. So I can attack a non-nuclear power with nuclear means. I mean, you are basically, it doesn't help to change this rule because we know you would have hit with a nuclear weapon no matter what the rule is. You don't care about rules. So changing the rules has no function. But it's a moral display to other people. And now you're telling the other people of this world, it's fine to strike with nuclear weapons if the other side hasn't striked with nuclear weapons. Very bad idea all around. And it shows that there is one party in this entire planet that is interested in nuclear war, and it's America. That is it for tonight, boys. Don't forget that we have some stuff on the calendar. What do I have here? The Crucible debate will be not tomorrow, but after tomorrow on Sunday. Crucible debate about CRISPR, the elixir of life. That is what's next on the schedule. I thank you all for being here. And I'm going to go taste that wonderful turkey of Mama JF. Bye-bye.